everybody. Welcome to episode 791 of the Comic Source Podcast. I'm your host, Jace. This is a special WonderCon episode. It's the interview I did with Rob Liefeld, talking about his new project, Major X, which comes out this Wednesday, April 3rd. And it was really great to talk to Rob. And, you know, I gotta say, as soon as I went to do post-production on this interview, like I just heard his voice, I heard how excited he was, just his energy. And I couldn't help but get a big smile on my face. You know, nobody can say Rob doesn't have a passion for comics. Nobody can say he's not an excitable guy. And, you know, he loves his fans. He loves creating, you know. And so the fact that he's getting to bring this character to life, a character that's literally been decades in the making, you know, it has its – you'll hear Rob talk about this in the interview. It has its roots way back when. You know, if he hadn't left Marvel for Image – this Major X storyline would have been his next project there. And there's just never been quite the right time to bring it to light. But the time is finally here, and it's great to see Rob back in the fold, creating a member of the X universe that hopefully will be additive and popular and bring some of Rob's energy back to comics, because that's something that's always welcome, in my opinion. And, you know, it's kind of funny. People will criticize Rob and his, you know, his art style and what have you. But I have to think that some of those very same people that are criticizing were the ones that were buying it back in the day. Because, I mean, everybody was buying it. Everybody was loving it. And, you know, it was imitated by a lot of artists as well. So, yeah, he exaggerates things. It's big guns and big swords and pouches and zippers and whatever, right? And at the time, we all loved it. It was part of what made the 90s feel so bombastic and over the top. And so I think this character, Major X, from what I've seen of him, is going to have less of that. He's going to, it looks like a little more of a streamlined design, but still bringing in some nostalgia, still bringing in some of that early X-Force feel. And you hear Rob talk about this in the interview as well, about just how action-packed the story of Major X is going to be. And so, you know, when I hear that, immediately what I think of is not as much Rob's New Mutants run, but more of that X-Force run, which was really a lot of action. You know, it was really like a big Saturday matinee blockbuster popcorn movie with a lot of explosions and fighting. And you just kind of lose yourself in it because it's nonstop action. And I'm kind of expecting some of that. But being that, and I think Rob doesn't get enough credit sometimes as a storyteller, he really likes to bring an air of mystery to a lot of the stories he's telling. And he's certainly keeping it close to the vest the way that Major X ties in with Cable and Deadpool and the Weapon X program and all that. But bringing some of that mystery back to the X universe, and how does this Major X character play in, and why haven't we heard from him up until now? Like, all that is fascinating to me, and I can't wait to discover kind of the reasons behind that. So again, it's always great to have Rob on. I want to thank him for taking some time to talk to me. I hope you all get out there and pick up Major X, because I think it's going to be a lot of fun. I really do.
All right, everybody, this is Jace coming to you live once again from WonderCon. Here with, I feel like a member of my childhood, Rob Liefeld.
Okay.
Great to have you on the show.
Way to make me feel old right off the bat.
Yeah.
But I am old, so let's do this.
No, both of us. But man, I feel like I grew up with you.
Right? Thank you. If you did, I thank you. So my family thanks you.
So the last time we had you on, we talked about Pouch.
Yeah.
Right? Great creation. But now you've got a new major player coming.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And no pun intended.
No, I tell everybody I have a major project coming out. Come on, man. I kill that pun. I kill it.
So tell us, what's it all about? Who's this character?
Well, you know, Major X, I'll just, the easiest way is to go back to the origins of it, which is, so around Thanksgiving 2017, C.B. Cebulski, new editor-in-chief of Marvel Comics, been there forever, been a talent relation guy, been a really important piece of everything, but now editor-in-chief, calls me up and says, hey, I want you to partake in this X-Men event we're doing. Do you have any interest in it? And it turned out to be their Extinction, I think it was called Extinction, that happened last fall. And he kind of ran by me the rough notes, and I said, hey, how's this? How about I pass on this, but I offer you this? And in 2006, I tried to knock on the door with Major X, and it was received with very little enthusiasm, and the X-Men editors were actually all leaving. They were transitioning. For whatever reason, it didn't take flight. It's actually a byproduct of when I originally did my X-Force run. There was some kind of unfinished business I had left behind, two significant storylines I never got to. This is one of them. I threw it to CB, and, you know, I'm sitting there going, yeah, he's going to throw this back to me and be like, not a chance. And he's like, Rob, let's do it. Let's do it all. And I said, okay, time out. There's also, I have to tell you who he is. I have to tell you the lineage. I have to tell you where he comes from. There's some crazy ideas here. And because here's the deal. I didn't want to do an X-Men story that you've read, and I didn't want to do an X-Men story that interferes with current X-Men continuity, because then you're getting into a bureaucracy where you're sitting around waiting for approvals. Mm. And what I've always done is kind of done, I'm really good at doing an end run. And the way I do that is I'll just make my own characters and kind of run around you while you guys all do the primary players. He approved it all. And I'm going to tell you, I'm at the end of the journey, and I never, ever, ever once was asked to change anything. So the great thing is, if you hate this, it is 100% me. I picked every artist, the anchors, the colorist. They're all my guys. Like, I completely, this, there is nowhere to run. There is nowhere to hide. So, but yeah, they approved it, and Major X has, the minute we announced it, this is the one significant thing, and I think it's very significant to me because I have never seen anything like it. Let's just say in 10 years on social media, the volume of fan art from the day he was announced, every day I get between 5 and 10 new pieces of Major art, Major X art, and I try to share all of it over my social medias, and you know, I still have a bunch to share before it's released on Wednesday. I'm trying to like keep pace. But when guys like Eric Canetti and some of these other really talented guys go, Rob, I had to draw Matrix. I'm like, what? So it's just been really exciting. I mean, I'm hoping that it meets with excitement from the people, because I got to be honest, I create it for me. I don't, when I do a story, I don't do it for, you can't predict what people like. Just, right. Just please yourself. And that's what I did.
So it's going to launch as a singular title, or is it more of an event?
Six issues. It's twice a month.
Okay.
And somebody else asked me, the fourth issue went to press. We have cleared the end of May. Like, if everyone drops dead on it, you've got four issues that are coming, and there's enough to, the rest are drawn, but inked, colored, lettered, scripted, they're gone. And I'm kind of like, I'll be honest, I read from a publisher a book that's coming out this week or next week that launches in April, that they use two artists on the launch, and I'm like, come on, it's not that hard.
Yeah.
Pick reliable people, get the stuff done, get it out. Especially under these, look, I had to do a contract. There were deadlines, bonuses for everybody involved. So there was a carrot to dangle. But I think everybody raised their game. I called Will Spartaccio, my partner in crime from the early 90s. Mm-hmm. Will's admittedly kind of went off the grid for a while. I think he's been doing a lot of conventions, not any interiors. And I said, would you do this? And he said, I'll do it. So I had to call CB and I said, can we get Will's cleared to be on the project? He said, yeah, sure, no problem. And I gave Will's, I believe, the best issue of the bunch. I think issue 3 is the most exciting. And when I saw the pages, I've known him forever. He's an influence on my own work. I have nothing but crazy respect for him. I'm telling you, it's an elevation of his work. And I felt it as he was turning pages. At the end of all 20 pages, Wills writes me a letter. Hey, Rob, let me tell you something. Thanks for contacting me. Thanks for making me a part of this. This rejuvenated me. This re-energized me. This felt like drawing comics 25 years ago. He said, I'll draw anything you write anytime, man. And he came over and saw me yesterday. We hugged. We, you know, talked it out. And he's like, dude, let's get together. Let's talk about something else. That's the most, that really moved me. Like, I was like, because we're peers, man, you know, yeah. And we're the old guys in the business now, you know? So I think that issue is the best one. He crushed it. It's so good. But there's a lot. Here's one I need to get to. My first comic I ever picked up was Fantastic Four 147. Namor is flying out of the ocean and he is battling the thing. It's on my spinner rack. That entire era, the mid-70s, Fantastic Four, that's what got me into comic books. If you crack any of those, there's about 12 to 13 pages of action and fighting. That's what I loved about comics. All the early Avengers, there's a lot of conflict, there's a lot of fighting. Will Stevens said, this, I just, he said, I can't believe they let you do this. Because it's heavy on action. And, but CB said, no, man. CB, he told me that his motto right now is he wants to make Marvel creator friendly. You have a vision, you bring it to us, we approve it, we let you do that vision. And I'm telling you right now, I am the living embodiment, my entire team, my crew is. Brent Peoples is a brand new, I had Brent, he draws three issues. He does the heavy lifting of the series. He outdid me by 10 pages because the first issue is 30. He did 60, I did 50 of this book. Kind of bothers me. I'm like, I should have been the 60. But the thing is, he did a great job. He had been doing some work for DC, but I had him do a short story for me that I paid him to draw, an independent story for a project I wanted to get out in 2014. And I thought he was a great storyteller. I liked where he was going. Shortly thereafter, he broke into DC. And I saw him at New York Comic Con, and I said, I may have something for you. Are you free? He said, I just finished my last job. And so I submitted him. He'd never worked for Marvel. He had to get through the process, get his page, you know, rate, get him on the books. And CB said, I'll give you the green light on him. He's good. Let's do it. And when you see his second issue and his fifth issue, he does 2, 4, and 5. He's phenomenal. I mean, I'm just really proud of it. I can't wait for it to be collected. I like the collected editions now, but I also like getting there. I think twice a month is ideal for this book. There's a cliffhanger every issue. So, I mean, I feel like it's a little different than what's coming out. Maybe it's not, but like I said, I told the story I wanted to tell. Marvel gave me the green light. Now we'll see if the fans dig it.
Well, I love that Wills is back. Dude, his line work is exquisite, and the fact that he's doing interiors, that's awesome.
Yeah.
But you mentioned that you really had this idea, you know, as part of your original
right.
X-Force run. So the roots go way back. Mm-hmm. But what it reminds me of, you just mentioned about how it's action-packed, and so it seems like it's really going to have that feel that the original
X-Force had. It's very
fast-paced.
Every issue is like 15 to 20 minutes of what I would say is a big kind of two-hour adventure. That's how it kind of feels. And I did, look, you get together with your peers all talk together. My tribe is different in comics. My tribe is different than these other guys' tribes. And I know, look, if you had to, you could pick out six tribes in comics. At one time, the Image Comics, we were a tribe.
Mm-hmm.
My tribe and I get together and we talk, and at times my tribe, I would not put Geoff Johns in my tribe, but he is a guy who came to me 12, 15 years ago and said, Rob, I grew up on your stuff just like you told me. And he talked to me about certain issues and last pages and cliffhangers that bugged him out as a kid. But Robert Kirkman and I sit down and talked, and we talked about page breaks. Jeff Loeb and I, we've talked about page breaks are a big deal in comics. What's on the next turn? What's on the next turn? How do you end the book? So there's just style. It's just a style this book subscribes to, and hopefully it's exciting. And look, like I said, it's I did not want to tell an X-Men story that's been told. I follow the X-Men. I think they could ramp up the action a little for my tastes. And so I unapologetically threw in a lot of action, very fast-paced. I mean, the whole series is kind of a pursuit. He's trying to save his home. He lost his home. Poor Major X has lost his home. He wants to get it back at all costs. So he goes on this, kind of runs the gauntlet like I just did, of Seattle, Chicago, and Anaheim. I think he's younger. He has more stamina. He's going to handle it better than I did. But, yeah, I think it's just a great pursuit. And hopefully there's a couple sequels.
Yeah, now one last question here for our Tuesday listeners for our X-Men Spotlight. If you could tell them one thing directly, like why should they pick up this book, what would it be?
To get in on the ground floor of a new pocket of the X-Men universe. This is it. I mean, the reason I was worried about approvals is because this states certain things that will happen. Now, again, there's always probabilities, and even the characters in my scripts are talking about probabilities because from the minute Cable came on the scene, he knew probabilities in his story. So he even says to Major X, I didn't foresee this. Like, I didn't foresee you crashing the party at this point. So, but I think it's not just new characters. There's new worlds and new concepts that are opened up and get it on the ground floor. And honestly, get in quick because the fact the book sold out means that all there's on the that is on the shelf is all that there will be on the shelf. That's because people go, what do you mean it's sold out? Because that's a kind of a double-edged sword. And you go, no, there's going to be copies there. But if they had 40 copies and you're the 41st guy, there is not any for next week.
Right?
They've already reordered. I got on the plane to go to Seattle, and I sat down, and on my phone I got a message, one of the headlines, that Major X was the number one reordered book. That was a headline. Everybody ran it. I'm like, oh, that's, we're doing good. And so from the number one reordered book, which, as you know, they have to put their final orders in, that registered. That's a fact. I didn't make that up. I was very pleasantly surprised. CB then tweeted that out. I think that's where I saw it. CB Spalsky retweeted it, said congrats, got the reorders. And then I woke up on Thursday to them saying, hey, Rob, we're sold out. We're a week in advance. We're going back to press. Can we use something for a cover? I'm like, I have this. So we're good.
So it sounds like it's going to be the must-read X-Men.
I think so.
It's going to have consequences.
No, I don't. Look. Here's the thing. And you can put this in there. Jonathan Hickman on X-Men was one of the worst-kept secrets on the other side of the industry.
Yes.
I knew he was coming for a year and a half. One of the things is I did not want to get in his path. He's got a big thing going on. So how do I run? How do I do what I want to do and not collide with him at all? And so I mapped it out. And there's a lot of callbacks to my work. 20 years worth of Marvel work. Major X is running through a lot of those moments. You'll see. I've tried to tell people, you should read these books to greater familiarize with what's coming. That my very first New Mutants I ever was a part of creating, and I don't think they've been sent since, because I'll end you with this. They're in the story. And my editor said, I can't wait to see these guys' designs. Wow, what do they look like? I go, yeah, they're in New Mutants Annual 5. It was published in 1989. You should look at it. You're the X-Men editor.
That's awesome. So a little nostalgia with this new character.
Fun
That's
stuff.
Awesome. Really looking forward to it, Rob.
Thank you, sir. Thank you very much.
All right, everybody. Hope you enjoyed the interview. I did tweet out after the interview that I feel like this is a must-read. And I really think that the first issue... I haven't read it myself, but I really do think everybody should be picking up that first issue and checking it out because, again, it has its roots in a period of Marvel history that is historic when you consider the popularity of characters like Cable and certainly Deadpool. And I think that I don't know that Weapon X will achieve that status. You know, New Mutants, the sales numbers weren't really that great when Rob came on, and he probably could have kept doing it indefinitely. The sales numbers certainly rose, but chose to go the other route with X-Force, and it made sense in terms of what the book really was, in terms of, like I was saying, a lot of action and stuff like that. But X-Men, or New Mutants 98 rather, it sold a lot of copies. That being said, it still goes for several hundred dollars because it's the first appearance of Deadpool. Well, everybody, speculators especially, you know, they're going to try to want to capture that lightning in a bottle again. So I'm sure that's partly why this Major X sold out. Plus Rob is just ultra popular, as popular as he's ever been, I would argue. So I don't know that we'll ever see this Major X first appearance, you know, rise to the level of Deadpool's first appearance. And part of it was the fact that nobody really expected Deadpool to be much of anything. And people didn't really hang on to those New Mutants 98s. And it wasn't until decades later that he got popular. So anyway, what I'm saying is that there's some of the demand, I know, is that kind of speculator market, but a lot, and there's a big chunk that it's, you know, Rob's fans that will buy anything he does. But again, I think that in terms of how this is going to play in, how it's going to tie into the Marvel Universe, and that part of the story going forward, and you know, just Rob's excitement for the project. Those are the reasons that I'm saying it's a must read. I, you know, whether or not it's worth money one day or not, it doesn't factor into the equation for me. Whether or not you're a fan of Rob Liefeld doesn't factor in the equation for me. The reason that I was calling this a must read right after I finished talking to Rob was, again, just because of his excitement for the project and how much of his heart and soul he's pouring into it. Plus, you heard on the interview that Rob talked about Wills Portacio doing one of the issues, and really popular artist at one time, got away from doing interiors due to some health issues and some other things. But the fact that he was able to do an issue, get it done on time, and it rekindled his love for doing interiors is amazing. So I think there's a lot of things about this series that are worthwhile and noteworthy and historic in their own way. Whether or not this ends up being a really popular character and it ends up being something that future comic readers are looking to hunt down is another question entirely, and it doesn't really factor in. but at least the first issue for me is a must read. Like, gotta pick it up, gotta check it out, gotta see what this Major X character is all about. And it may very well be that I don't enjoy it. It's not for me. And I certainly will say so if that's the way that I feel. But just based on Rob's excitement, I feel like it's I got to give it a try. It's, for me, it's a must read. Got to pick it up this Wednesday. So I hope you feel the same way. As always, thanks for listening, everybody. You can find the Comic Source Podcast on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, Google Play, or whichever podcasting app you prefer. Please tell all your friends about us, subscribe, and rate us. The ratings really help with our visibility and our ability to reach new listeners, especially 5-star reviews on Apple. Also, be sure to visit us at lrmonline.com to join the conversation, access the show notes, and discover all our other great pop culture content. If you want to email us, the email address is thecomicsourceblog@gmail.com, or you can follow us on Twitter, twitter.com/thecomicsource. Do a search for The Comic Source on Facebook and Instagram to follow us on those social platforms. All three spots are great places to find out when we release new episodes, as well as follow all our convention coverage. So once again, we want to thank everyone for listening, and we'll talk to you next time.